This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Some big news as far as New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are concerned. Andrew Cuomo tweeting, I'm announcing that with Governor Murphy and Governor Lamont, a joint travel advisory, all individuals traveling from states with significant community spread of COVID into these three states, New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut, must quarantine for 14 days. The travel advisory is effective midnight tonight. So you see what's happening in all these other states, like Florida and Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi.
Well, the same thing happened. I mean, the same thing happened when you were trying to travel from, I mean, when we were the epicenter that's trying to travel from New York to Florida.
I don't understand how you enforce this, though.
Well, you don't enforce. I mean, it's suggested. I mean,
so it's just like if you come from Florida, you should. It's an idea that if you're coming back to one of these three states, you should stay home for 2 weeks.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You what does it mean for the athletes that are traveling back from those states and getting ready for the restart?
They should quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah, see, I don't know how that's going to work, though. I mean, again, I don't know the kind of deals that they have worked out as far as sports are concerned with local government or state government.
Yeah, but, I mean, I understand you want sports to return, but in theory, if this is this is not for differing people, if you're in Florida and you're coming back to play for the Yankees or the Mets,
yeah, but in theory,
quarantine for 2 weeks.
Okay, but in theory, and you heard it from Greg, I mean, Canada is making a special exemption, a special exception for the NHL so they can have a Canadian hub city. Andrew Cuomo wants sports, so I'm sure he's going to be willing to be a little bit more flexible because these guys are going to be put in a situation where they're going to be tested.
Maybe they quarantine for 3 days to see if the COVID, you know, is traceable in their system, and then they test them each and every day if they come back from Florida. Like, there's got to be. I mean, you can't just say, "All right, well, you're a professional athlete, so you just go back into population," though.
No, that's not how it's going to work. I mean, there's going to be there'll be some kind of isolation, I would imagine. I don't think it's going to be 2 weeks.
Right.
It'll be a negative or a couple negative tests. Like Jokic has to have two negative tests.
Before he's eligible, correct.
Before he's eligible to come back to the United States. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Shesterkin actually made the move to come from Florida back to New York just in time.
So he's back already?
I think he came back yesterday, yeah.
Or I guess actually you have till midnight tonight.
So call up a private
company,
whatever
now.
You need.
Yeah, you got 12 hours, right? Get back here now.
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
Well, it doesn't make you feel all that comfortable, right? If people are rushing back to avoid the 2 week quarantine.
Yeah, but does the whole thing make you comfortable?
No,
period?
Nothing about it makes.
I mean, you're relying on people to do the right thing,
which we've seen firsthand.
You can suggest
people
it,
don't.
But no. I mean, it's happening all over the place. We talked about the story with the women's soccer team, Orlando soccer team, that had to pull out.
Yep,
because they had a group of players go to a bar and then six tested positive.
Things we've done such a great job here at handling this. It'd be a shame to let it get away now.
Yeah, and that's why he's doing it. And just make people aware. Like, if you're going to come here, well, hopefully because he said that, it would make people not
maybe you don't want to come here.
Exactly. It was the same. I mean, you remember, like, the whole thing with Djokovic was the whole, you know, once he got here, he'd have to self-isolate for 14 days. He wasn't happy with that.
No.
So maybe people make the decision, well, I'm not going to, I'll just stay in Florida.
Then fine. Then stay wherever you are in your hotbed of a COVID area.
I mean, they were at a point too in Florida where you couldn't. I mean, if you were from New York, they weren't letting you rent places in Florida. You were discouraged from renting your place, your rental properties out to people from New York.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure. All right, so that's the news. 14-day quarantine if you're coming from any of those hotbed COVID states into the tri-state area. All right, let's get to the NBA. Avery Bradley, guys, opts out of returning to the NBA because of concerns for his family's well-being. So I guess it was on Get Up I saw this morning. He has a child that has respiratory issues, and I mean, good for him. He doesn't want to take the risk. I don't look any less on him. I think for him and his situation, his family, it's the right decision.
No, we knew we were going to have some players, Dave, that were going to decide to opt out from the restart. I mean, Davis Bertans from the Washington Wizards, he's not going to participate because he's going to be a free agent this coming summer, and so he doesn't want to do anything to jeopardize his payday. And then you had, I think it was Trevor Ariza,
yep,
who has arranged visitation with his son.
Right, for a month
period.
Over the summer, right? Yeah.
Yeah, over the summer. And he they're not going to allow his kid to come in initially with the restart. So he's like, you know what? I'm all good. I'm just going to hang out and spend time with him. Like, in those circumstances, you can understand why players are making those decisions. And we knew that it was going to be personal for all of the guys around the NBA, and people would have their different reasons. And so you just hope that you're able to retain enough of the star players and enough of the guys that you would consider faces of the league would commit to being a part of the restart. And it looks like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, if I'm being completely honest though, I understand why he's not going, and that's a huge loss for the Lakers. I don't know if I fully believe it.
What do you mean?
I don't know if that sounds terrible to me saying that.
Well, what do you explain it?
Well, I mean, you're not, in all actuality, I understand your six-year-old has a history of struggling to recover from respiratory illness, but I mean, that's, you don't have to expose him to, you don't have to be exposed to him. If you choose to go down to Orlando, you can go down to Orlando by yourself. You're not exposing your six-year-old
sure.
to anything.
Sure. You could. Well, maybe he doesn't want to not be around his family for, I mean, Lakers are a team that could play, you know, the maximum game.
Yep.
No, but on the heels of him being one, it was him and Kyrie Irving talking about, you know, not wanting to take away from the Black Lives Matter movement. I don't know if I agree. I don't know if I believe what he's saying. It's probably the smartest thing to say, though.
Yes. I mean, you can't criticize this.
And I think they have to pay him, too, I would imagine. If you can prove a legitimate health concern.
I don't think they have to pay him. No, they don't have to pay him.
No, I don't think they pay him.
No, because he doesn't have any underlying issues, and he's not at any inordinate amount of risk. So, yeah, he's just deciding to opt out. They don't have to pay him. Same thing with Trevor Ariza and Bertans.
That's a big loss for your Lakers, though.
Yeah, it's a big loss, and I don't love the idea of who they're entertaining.
Yeah.
One J.R. Smith who's shooting buckets at Lifetime
Fitness. Bring it out to the three-point line for forcing over.
He was so proud of himself, too.
Do you know the score of the game, J.R.? J.R., do you know the score of the game?
He had no idea.
That was by far... That video still to this day makes me laugh because he was so proud of himself.
Oh, he thought he was the best.
Oh, he's like, LeBron is going to wax poetic about what I just did.
Done. I killed the whole clock. I did it.
Oh my goodness.
That's got to be one of the, I mean, when you think of the magnitude of the moment, one of the worst, dumbest plays in the history of sports, right?
Yeah, but that was it. That was a wrap. I mean, LeBron pretty much was like, I just, there's nothing else I can do. The fact that we didn't just.
Well, he dropped like 50 in that game.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Where he was spent.
Like 55 and 15 or something.
He left it out. Like, he left everything on the court.
He emptied the tank. Yeah.
Emptied the tank. I mean, I'll never forget. Like, I can close my eyes and just see LeBron's face with his arms out. Like, what are you doing?
And then they got killed in overtime, right? That was awful.
How do you bounce back from that mentally?
Well, they didn't. You don't.
They're just letting him dribble around.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? I'd have been so angry.
Oh, my goodness. That's too funny.
If the Knicks did that, or, like, you know, God forbid, the Giants did that. But the Giants did something like that, right? They ran the football in a game where all they had to do was take a knee. And it was pretty much a meaningless game, and it changed the franchise forever.
Sometimes you just have – this is like when you killed off Magic. Like, sometimes you just have
this is like when you punt the ball to DeShaun Jackson after blowing a 21-point lead. That was bad.
Like. He told them not to punt the ball down
He told them that.
But what's amazing, too, it's not even a kickoff. Like, there's no – you can kick it out of bounds. There's no penalty. There's no penalty involved with kicking it out of bounds.
But you think if you asked Coughlin his thoughts on Matt Dodge, he would say, like, just even to this day, like, oh, I can't stand him.
He probably refuses to drive a Dodge at this point. I almost don't even drive a Dodge. That would be sick to my stomach.
Oh, God.
Like, there's no, you can kick it out of bounds.
He twirled around at the goal line. That was, oh, God, was that awful.
And he even dropped it first. And picked it back up.
Oh, I know. No, I don't even think, Chris, I don't even think anybody came close to him.
Nobody did come close to him, though. But here's my thing. He kicked it in the middle of the field.
Oh, right down, a low-line drive. Right, like, right exactly what you don't want to do.
Who punched the ball in the middle of the field? Nobody does that.
That was the video you show. Like, if you're a punter like this, the video, like, here's what not to do.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Don't ever
do
this.
A low-liner in the middle of the field.
All he had to do was, if he would have had a 30-yard kick, just out of bounds. 30 yards, out of bounds, we go to overtime, done. Down the middle of the field. All right.
Kick it right at him.
Let's switch to maybe a more positive topic, the Knicks. I don't even know anymore.
It's
got to
be more positive than that, Dave.
Yeah, I guess so.
I would frame this as less negative.
Less negative? So the Knicks have
more positive.
Made it official. Worldwide, Wes is now a member of the Knicks organization.
It's good.
Is it good?
Great. I mean, I guess it's good. I mean, again, I mean, what you're trying to accomplish with the whole persona of your organization, I guess it's, I mean, with his relationships and everything else, I mean, he makes things happen. So I guess it's good.
If those things happen.
If those things happen.
Right.
But now, I mean, again, they can't help themselves because now they look, I mean, just when you think they're on the right track, they revert to, you know, this
Jason
dysfunctional
Kidd.
Behavior.
Yeah,
and
Jason
they just start,
Kidd,
it's like.
Relationship with Giannis, free, I mean, I don't know. Here's my take, Chris. Until I see the Knicks do it properly, and I'm not saying this won't be right. Right? I'm not saying that Rose and Worldwide West and whoever they're going to hire as coach won't be right. But I feel like until I see them actually do it right, I can't believe that it's ever going to turn around.
And I can understand why you would feel that way, Dave. You can't give the Knicks the benefit of the doubt in this situation. But what you do look at as a positive is that Leon Rose is building a team and he's surrounding himself with people that he trusts, people that are well-regarded within the industry, and people that have relationships with players. To me, this is just the Knicks taking the next step in the obvious direction that they're going in, which is trying to attract young, talented players around the league. I don't think this is going to be a build-through-the-draft type of philosophy because you didn't go out and get build-through-the-draft kind of people. Like, I mean, you're hiring Worldwide West because of his relationships with players in and around the NBA. I mean, you know, I don't know. It just feels like that's the direction that they're going. I like some of the people that they picked up, though. I mean, they got Frank Zanin from Oklahoma City, and he's going to run pro scouting. I mean, they got Brock Aller, the cap guy from Cleveland, who Dan Gilbert says knows more about the cap than PwC knows about the IRS. So, I mean, if you're going out and you're hiring all these people as support staff for Leon Rose, I guess it gives me more confidence that he's going to be able to do the job that he's been tasked with, which is try to get this thing turned around sooner rather than later.
I don't think it can hurt, Dave.
I guess not. I don't know. You know, but I hear a lot of people, and, you know, the phone lines are open, 800-919-3776 for the conversation. Now, I'm not saying it's going to hurt. It's just I feel like I've been down this road so many times, Rick, that until I see, you know what, some baby steps at least, it's hard to wrap my arms around this kind of a move. And these kind
no,
of
I can understand that. And listen, the proof is going to be in the pudding. I get it. I mean, until they prove otherwise, I understand that. But, I mean, part of the uphill climb for Leon Rose is going to be changing the perception of the team.
Right.
And, you know, making it safe for the players he has relationships to come to the Knicks. Because
hopefully
they've had such
a
bad
better
reputation.
Job at that than Steve Stout.
I don't even, where is Steve Stout, by the way? I mean, because he's brutal at his job. And I'm not uncomfortable saying that. He's been awful.
You'd be better off having no one in the position than what he's done so far.
What would the difference be? Would there be a difference?
Well, the difference is no one in the position. You might not get some of the missteps that you've had with him in that role.
The only time you heard from him is when he embarrassed himself on TV.
And
that
they had
awful.
An issue a statement to walk back what he said.
I know.
That's your brand manager. I mean, what are we doing here?
I
don't get it. Now this whole coaching thing and the Giannis connection. Come on. I don't want to go down that road again.
I mean, how many times have we gone down there? I mean, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James. I mean, we're really going to play that. Well, if we hire Jason Kidd, we're going to land Giannis?
Find a coach you feel comfortable
that's it.
With, and that's it. And commit to that guy.
If you can sign these guys and they want to commit to you, great. But for me, let's go into it as if you're not going to, and if you do, that's a huge bonus to the whole
thing. Yeah, and if you get one of those guys, Dave, a transformative free agent, and he doesn't like the coach, then you just do what the Brooklyn Nets did. You fire your coach.
Absolutely.
And you hire whoever those guys want to be the head coach.
Right. Giannis.
But let's get the guy first.
Karl-Anthony Towns, you want to come here? Okay. You tell us how you want it to work. But I don't know. It's just hard for me to believe that something like that's going to happen.
It's
yeah, I have a hard time.
I believe it, Dave, but why would you go out and hire the former head of CAA basketball if that wasn't going to be your approach?
But I thought that they said that wasn't going to be the approach. The approach was going to be, you know, really getting back to grinding through the scouting and building this team through youth and having the young players and the, you know.
I think it would open the door.
The Barretts and all of that.
I think it would give you the ability to do that if you chose, like if that became an option. Like you're giving yourself the option.
So this is flexibility here now?
Yeah, like you're going to build, like you have to, listen, regardless of, you know, what superstar we're talking about, most superstars are attracted to a ready-made situation.
Yes.
Where the foundation is put in place and they can be the finishing pieces. So you're going to still have to build the foundation. right? You're going to have to draft well, develop players, have a good head coach, and then now give yourself the opportunity, because Leon Rose has great relationships, that if it's a Devin Booker or Carl Anthony, whoever it ends up being, that doesn't like their current situation, they'll feel comfortable coming to the Knicks. They're not going to want to come to the Knicks and it still be a mess.
Right. It's got to be at least heading in the right direction.
So you're talking about 2 years from now, though, right, at the earliest?
Yeah.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you hope those next 2 years that Mitchell Robinson and R.J. Barrett continue to develop.
It'd be like if you had, like if I have an older quarterback, like the Eli Manning situation, right? I got Eli Manning, and I'm going to draft a younger quarterback. Whatever I get and add to the roster for Eli Manning is going to benefit the young quarterback too. You're going to need, you know, a great offensive line, which is going to be good for an older quarterback and also good for a younger quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're still going to have to do all the right things as far as drafting well, developing talent. And then hopefully, because the relationships that Leon Rose has and Worldwide West have, you'll have the opportunity at some point to poach a superstar.
Yeah, but you have to build your base properly. And if you, you know, fall backwards into one of these star free agents, then that's great. But I think you have to assume you won't, and hopefully you do.
But doesn't exactly it feel right. like when we're talking about building this base, doesn't it feel like the Knicks are inevitably going to hire Tom Thibodeau to be their head coach?
Feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, if he's hiring Worldwide West, who he's got a 40-year relationship with, it seems like he's prioritizing having past experience working with people. It feels like Tibbs would be the obvious choice for Leon Rose to be the head coach.
Chris, this feels like a knee-jerk reaction to not making a statement when the whole George Floyd thing happened.
I hope that's not the case.
No, well, I don't know.
This feels like a Rooney Rule situation. I mean, the three guys you're looking at are all white guys, and all of a sudden you're going to interview everybody that exists on the planet?
Are you talking about the coaching search?
Yeah, I mean, it was Thibodeau or Atkinson, two white guys. Then all of a sudden they get the backlash from this, and now it's Becky Hammon, it's Jason Kidd, I mean, you name it. They're interviewing it. Every single, they've interviewed, what, 10 people now?
I think the list is up to 10, yeah.
I mean, it seemed weeks ago that it was going to be Tom Thibodeau, and now all of a sudden there's questions.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Nick in Queens. Nick, you're next up on 98.7.
How you doing? I hope it's not the same old Knicks if they get Jason Kidd because they think they're going to get Antetokounmpo. There's no chance.
Did you just call him Asabuka?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, veal. Delicious veal Asabuka. The shank, the whole shank.
Listen to this. Trade the kitchen sink for Donovan Mitchell. And stop waiting for players to come.
You think that Utah's going to trade Donovan Mitchell?
No, they're not. We could have drafted Donovan Mitchell.
We could have drafted him instead of Frank.
How about Damian Lillard?
I don't think you're going to.
What are you going to trade? Well, what are you going to trade Portland for Damian Lillard?
Exactly.
Who? I mean, what are you going to trade for him? RJ Barrett?
Barrett Robinson,
exactly.
Right?
You need those players around to support whatever superstar that you're going to eventually get, which is
why you're going to be happy. You're going to gut the entire team
with those guys, instead of those guys.
Exactly right. He's going to be happy coming to the New York Knicks with no one or with no roster.
Nope.
It's going to be him and Julius Randle.
Julius Randle still spinning.
Oh my goodness.
Well, listen,
I can't even do laundry anymore. I see spin cycle, I want to vomit.
Are you a big laundry guy?
Big laundry guy.
You do the laundry?
Not all the laundry. Yeah, I mean, I do my fair share of laundry.
Yeah, but you're 50-50 on the laundry?
Yeah, I would say, like 60. She does probably 60. I do 40. 60-40.
If you start a load of laundry, then you put it in, then to the dryer, then you fold it? Like, is that now your load of laundry?
Yeah, I always finish.
Yeah.
Always finish.
Let's go to Chris in Wantagh. Chris, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, yo, what up, guys? I hate talking Knicks, being a lifelong Knicks fan, so I'm just going to go back to the cuddle, marry, trash thing I wanted to bring up.
Yep.
I have hot takes. I know you're probably going to roast them, but I think you cuddle AD and you trashed him. And
no,
I think
no. I mean, that's ridiculous. How are you trashing Tim Duncan for Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I don't know how you could think that's the
move. Stop it.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Ridiculous.
At all. And I'm a Lakers fan. I don't know how you could do that.
Tim Duncan is one of the great players in the history of the game.
Yeah, but he's got no flash. He's got no pizzazz.
Well, I'm sorry.
People No, people are drawn to stars.
I mean, they were the most consistent team in the NBA for 20 years. They won so many titles. They were great. He was great. He was a great offensive player. He was a great defensive player. Better than Anthony Davis. It's not close.
Yeah, I agree with
Stop
that.
Stop it.
Yeah.
There's probably some recency bias involved with that hot take.
It's ridiculous.
Speaking of hot takes, do you want to know what my son asked for breakfast this morning?
He asked for dessert for breakfast.
Nope, not dessert. I give him credit. I mean, he's five, but he's pretty usually on point.
Waffles with ice cream.
No, nothing crazy. Like, just this is less crazy and more way too mature for a five-year-old, I would imagine.
A frittata.
Not a frittata. Close. Interesting. No, he actually asked for, Mom, I would like a stack of pancakes with a side of bacon and an over-medium egg. On
wow.
top of the pancakes, yeah.
Very mature.
Interesting.
You've really raised a little man there, huh?
I had no idea he even knew what an over-medium egg was.
Nice.
No idea.
I'm just glad he asked for bacon.
Well done, bacon, hopefully.
Dude, the kid, I mean, he demolishes bacon.
Well, because who doesn't like bacon?
I think everyone
People
likes
that
bacon.
People that aren't trustworthy, Dave.
Yes.
That's who doesn't like bacon.
See, right. but Canty's like above and beyond with the bacon, though, because he likes that big, thick, like pork belly.
You like
bacon.
The Luger's kind of bacon, right?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Like steakhouse bacon.
Yes.
I like the nice crispy, thin crispy bacon.
Oh.
I was watching the Food Network, I think it was a couple of days ago, and there's some bacon restaurant in Hell's Kitchen. I was like, I
just
couldn't
believe
I hadn't tried it yet.
Canty, there is a restaurant in Toronto, which we'd always go to, and if you go and sit at the bar and you order your drink, they bring you a basket of bacon.
That's a dream.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of places I need to go.
Yeah.
Those are the type of places I need to go.
Although the bacon restaurant, I mean.
I was actually watching the Food Network. You know how much I love the Food Network. This would be right up Canty's alley. You know when you get a BLT? It's delicious. But sometimes, like, if the bacon's not cooked properly, they don't give you enough bacon.
You can't have that fatty bacon.
Yeah, fatty bacon, or they get a little bit skimpy. It's like not a big, like, handful of bacon on the BLT.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, so this one restaurant decided to solve the problem by actually. So they make their own bacon, and then they grind up the bacon and make it into a burger patty to make the BLT. So the patty is just bacon with
nice.
The lettuce and tomato and mayo.
That's outstanding.
That's nice.
I mean, how good does that sound?
That's outstanding.
That is nice.
You might have to go to the emergency room afterward, but that is outstanding.
Yeah, no, they have paddles at the table. They have just to bring you back. Once you
They'll bring you back in case you go to the dark side for a little bit.
Clear.
All right. Observations. I got to do some weather research. So let's go to break. I'll go weather. We'll go bedtime last night. We'll go observations. We'll get back into MLB. All of it coming your way. Next, 98.7.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservations.
Welcome back, dumb.
All right, here we go, fellas. Hump Day edition of Knobservations. And as we like to do every single day, we're going to get a live look in at the weather with one David
The weather
Rothenberg.
Outside is weather.
Well, you know what I've learned in my time doing the weather? Things can change very quickly. Now, if you're planning for rain today, that was probably the plan up until last night, but no longer. It's a beautiful 81, partly cloudy today. Looks like it's going to go up to 84 and very sunny for the duration of the day. And there is now little to no rain in the forecast today. So that's good news. Sun rose at 5:22, only 2 hours and 11 minutes, according to my calculations, after Rick went to bed last night, maybe, Chris Canty. Sunset, 8:30 p.m. tonight. Chance of rain? No, that's zero. Humidity? Nice. Balmy, 52%. Little wind out there today, 12 miles an hour. What direction is it blowing out of? West-northwest. Feels like 83. We've had no precipitation to this point. The barometric pressure, glad you asked, 29.71. Visibility, very good, 10 miles. UV index was 8 yesterday, 7 today. But still, as a public service announcement, I think there's a dermatologist that should sponsor this segment and this specific part of it. The UV index is 7. Make sure you put on your sunblock, Rick DiPietro. Air quality index 34. Air quality is good.
Or potentially a swim shirt. Or a swim shirt.
Either way.
Yep. Potato, potato. Tremendous work, David. Tremendous.
Yeah, Lee Goldberg couldn't do it better himself.
Thank you. Phenomenal. And maybe someday you'll get a Bentley.
No. He's got some car collection there, huh?
Or a Ferrari with a vanity. Yeah. Maybe. Just one day. All right, here we go. Game show that is sweeping the nation. And this is a barn burner. Dave actually lost yesterday. Almost the perfect game. 8 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect game.
It was my Armando Galarraga performance.
I mean, this is it's just Canty on the button hits at 7:42 yesterday. So, Canty, you control the board going into a pivotal Wednesday. What are you going to do?
I'm going to give Dave Rothenberg the honors.
I'll take him. I knew you would. I prepared for such a moment.
Okay.
I'm not going to analyze. I'm not tipping any hand here. I know where I'm going to go. 7:38. Final answer.
38.
Done. 7:38.
Okay, I think that's a little bit on the earlier side, so I am going to go with 7:39.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Canty continues to impress. Dave, actually, you are completely off base. Last night was an 8:51-er.
What?
8:51, yeah.
Now, you said you were so rested. You're trying to throw me off the scent.
Well, I didn't tell you why. You didn't ask. I could have told you. It's because I went a full night without having to wake up to pee, which is very rare.
That's a rarity.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So I went 8:51 straight through. Not one.
You had a couple of nights like that
time.
In
good
the
for
last
you.
Couple of weeks.
I know. I feel like my prostate health during
you
this pandemic.
You must be taking that beta
impressive.
Prostate stuff. Good for you.
Do you have a going problem or a growing problem?
Well, you know, I think I picked it up because last night I didn't get up once for the bathroom, twice for the bathroom last night.
Twice. Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's either how many times or if you, for some reason, like a half hour or 20 minutes before your alarm goes off, you have to wake up and pee is the worst.
Ugh, awful.
Because then I feel like I have to go back to bed still because I have another 15 minutes. Which is detrimental because I fall asleep.
Well, you
got
to get back
groggy.
Into bed at a minimum, yeah.
And then you feel terrible.
How about Dave losing pivotal game three?
Yeah, it's not good.
You're going to need to bounce back.
Well, I mean, this is a late bedtime.
I don't know what got into me last night.
What time? 8:51?
8:51. That's because
I mean, the sun was down and everything.
I know. I made a mistake. I should have just shut the TV off. And then I saw Fever Pitch, and I was like, oh, I love this movie.
Ah, it's a good movie.
And then I finally had to tear myself away because I was falling asleep. All right, boys, I'm going to start off with some good news. This is great news. I mean, do we have a good news sounder at all?
We Sandy? Should.
Like, this is, how about like a dream come true sounder?
What does that mean?
Like someone's dreams are coming true? I mean, someone.
Well, you think he just has the drop of a hat, a sounder for someone's dreams coming true?
No, I have no idea. I don't know what he's got on that board. I mean, he's one of the best in the business.
He might be the best, but that's asking a lot.
I mean, out of nowhere.
You have a dreams come true sounder.
He had you killing. I mean, he had you killing magic right at the tip of his finger.
Well, of course, because that made me look bad.
All right, here you go, boys. Here's the good news, Dave. This is for you. I mean, you have to be pumped. I mean, this is a dream come true. This is the closest Dave Rothenberg has ever been to being an NFL quarterback.
Oh.
Beard, doughy. I'd say, Dave, you're a little doughy.
Not as much anymore, but I have been known to be doughy.
Porn addiction. You are as close to Ben Roethlisberger as you've ever been.
He NFL was almost my quarterback, too.
Yeah. And you guys are very similar, apparently. Very similar.
I don't think that's that nice, though. I don't think he has the greatest reputation.
No, it wasn't meant to be nice, but he beat the porn addiction.
I mean, addiction is such a...
Which seems appropriate.
Such a word that could go in so many directions.
Yeah, I don't know how you beat... I mean, of course, I guess... You overcome it.
Let it alone.
Yeah, you wouldn't beat a porn addiction. You would overcome it. Here's some other interesting news. Great news for the 49ers. Manscaped, this is on their official Twitter, is the official below-the-waist grooming partner of the San Francisco 49ers. How about that?
Good for them. The Yankees should have a grooming partner.
Free buzzers for everybody.
That would make sense,
Manscaped.
Though, right, Dave?
This
they can't
face
have any facial hair?
Well, whatever. I mean, they should still have some kind of a shaving company sponsor.
Yeah,
them.
Like
you know,
Braun or something.
Any,
like,
any facial
like an
hair.
Electric, like an electric razor or something.
Yeah.
Or Gillette.
Yeah, yeah, a Norelco, something like that.
Shaving cream partnership or something. Good
right?
point, Dave.
Norelco, yeah. the official whatever, the Yankees? Makes
yeah,
sense.
I agree with you 100%. That makes sense. This is why you should be doing marketing, too.
I'm an idea guy.
Oh, you're a multifaceted dude. I will say that. All right, boys, did this happen in Florida? A pizza restaurant was forced to close for a day last week following an inspection by the Department of Business and Professional Regulations because they found in this local pizza joint's freezer an 80-pound dead iguana.
Ugh!
The reptile was given as a personal gift to the owner, and it was stored in a separate freezer away from the restaurant's food, and apparently was thrown away when they were informed. They had to be informed that keeping a dead iguana in your freezer is a violation.
Now, this you said was not with the food, though?
That's what they're saying. Yeah, it wasn't with the food. It was in a freezer in the restaurant.
Now, why is that? Could you imagine getting a gift of a dead iguana, 80 pounds? Is that something you would be like, oh, thank you so much for thinking of me? Right? I mean, like,
you shouldn't have. Yeah, you shouldn't have. Honey, you know what we should bring?
So kind.
You know what we should bring as a gift? How about a dead iguana?
Yeah, Herman, bring him.
Next time I pass a squirrel on the road, Dave, I'm going to
scoop
it up. Yes,
if you accidentally run over an animal and he is no longer with us, pack them up, bring them to the location you're going to, and present them as a present.
Make sure Sherry clears.
Wasn't there a movie with Matthew Broderick where there was some kind of lizard?
Yeah, I think that was at The Freshman?
I think so.
With Marlon Brando, right?
They were supposed to be serving it at this fancy restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure Sherry clears up some freezer space.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
And 80 pounds. I don't think our freezer would hold an 80-pound iguana.
No, but I'm not going to bring you an iguana. If I get this chipmunk, maybe I'll bring you the chipmunk or something.
Now, did you ask if that's Florida?
Of course I did. That's a perfect Florida story. Did that happen in Florida?
Well, here's the thing, Chris. It could be Florida, but iguanas, whenever I go to Aruba or I've been to Grand Cayman, iguanas are rampant there.
And they're bigger, right?
They're huge. So I'm thinking this is either like Aruba or Florida. And I'm not certain.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward out of the country as well, Dave. It doesn't feel like this would be, I don't know.
As crazy as Florida is, do you see people bringing huge dead iguanas as presents?
I mean, I could see them having a huge pet lizard or a pet reptile. Yes,
well, having is one thing, but then bringing it for
freezer,
you to stash in your freezer?
Yeah, I don't. That's the part of it that throws me off. So I'm going to say not Florida.
Now, hold on a moment here. You said this is a pizza restaurant, correct?
This is a pizza restaurant, yes.
See, now I'm being torn back towards Florida because I don't know if do they have just pizza restaurants in those Caribbean islands?
I think we're also losing track of it. Could you imagine what does an 80-pound iguana look like?
And what do you do with it?
80 pounds, that's a
like
big
a
iguana.
Baby dinosaur.
Yeah. I really think you guys are overthinking this.
Overthinking this?
I think it's over.
What do you think, Santi? You're part of this game. What do you think?
I think it's definitely Florida because a pizza restaurant's not going to be in Aruba or anywhere else.
That's
it's
right.
A,
that's what I'm thinking. I'll go Florida as well.
You've got an iguana. That's, okay. This is definitely Florida.
I will say Florida as well.
West Palm Beach, Florida.
Wow.
Should have trusted you guys. I don't know what I was thinking.
Nice.
Canty went different country.
Well, I think I let him there.
An 80-pound iguana?
Oh, yeah. 80 pounds, baby. Come on, 80 man. Pounds.
Like people walking their pet dog, you're walking your pet iguana?
80, but 80 pounds.
Yeah, my son's five. My son's five. He's 50. Milo's like 54 pounds.
This is twice the size of Milo.
He's 54 pounds. I couldn't imagine.
What do you think you feed an 80-pound iguana?
You got a massive size iguana. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I would be afraid if I saw the 80-pound iguana that I would be what he was trying to eat.
Do iguanas eat meat? I don't know if they do.
What do I look? I don't have any idea what iguanas eat.
I don't want to find out.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not going to test it.
I think they're
messing around with iguana.
I think. I have to look that up.
Yeah, why don't you check that out for me?
Yeah, you're way too curious. Why don't you find out, Dave?
Okay.
We'll let you handle that.
All right, did this happen in Florida? You ready for this one?
Yep.
And unfortunately, this story does not have a happy ending.
Oh,
unfortunately
no.
For this story, yeah. A 40-year-old patient was admitted to an ICU on June 13th as doctors believe he had contracted COVID-19. 2 days later, the man was transferred to an isolation ward as a safety precaution. The man's relatives went to visit him. They decided because it was so hot out, and the hospital had unplugged the air condition as to not spread more of the virus.
Don't tell me they unplugged his ventilator to plug in the air conditioner, please.
They brought their own air conditioner and unplugged the ventilator to plug in their own air conditioner.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
No, I'm serious. This is a legitimate story, yeah.
And did
the ventilator had a backup battery, but the man's relatives didn't tell the doctors and nurses that they unplugged it. So by the time they realized it was
he didn't die, right?
Yes, he did.
Oh yeah. That can't be Florida. There's no way.
Where do you think it is, Dave?
Some third world country.
Could you let's just for a second.
I hate to
joke about this. You go into, like, you're bringing your own air conditioner into a hospital room. The person you're going to visit is on a ventilator. And you would just, would you unplug anything?
No, it sounds
touching anything.
It sounds like this is from the movie Airplane, right? When he just like unplugs it and he starts giggling on the side.
It seems like a fake story.
No, this is not Florida, and this is an awful story.
So it's not Florida, Dave. You're absolutely certain about this.
I would be shocked if that was Florida.
Okay, because Dave has such a strong conviction, I'm going to side with him and say
And not only that, Chris, I would be equally shocked if that was this country.
Okay.
Yeah, same. What do you think, Santi? The United States of America.
You guys are correct. That was in northern India.
Northern India. Story. Okay.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like. Let's move on. That's a troubling story.
But I mean, it fits the definition. Like, what are you doing?
Is the definition of a knob, though.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, it was warm. Yeah. But go ahead, please. I don't want to.
It's like that's like a scene from like a Naked Gun movie.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Like when you have the microphone on, it goes into the bathroom. Like it's that level of just what?
I'm just going to unplug this here to plug that in. Ah,
that's right. Cool down.
Who's thinking about air comfort when one of your loved ones is on a ventilator? It doesn't make sense to me.
It's so much more comfortable in this ICU with this air condition.
Yeah. Stop it, because I can't. I don't want to continue here, please. Because I have jokes. They're inappropriate. It's no. Go. Move on.
Well, that's a part of being it's comedy, man. Sometimes it's going to be
uncomfortable. No, please. Just go on. Move.
All right. This will make you more comfortable. Last story for today's Knobservations. A New York-based bidet company is offering to pay someone $10,000 to study their pooping habits over the summer.
What does that mean? Study their pooping habits.
This company is Tushy. They want you to.
The company is called Tushy.
It's Tushy. They want you to document your diet and bowel movements daily for 3 months and describe their experience on the brand's social media accounts. All you have to do is poop every day for 3 months and record what you're doing.
What do you mean what you're doing?
What you're doing? Just what's going on? You know how things are going.
For 10
they also
grand?
Want you to 10 grand they want you to also include noting the difference between using regular old toilet paper and the company's butt cleaning products.
So they provide you with the butt cleaning
products. Yes. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 grand.
Nice.
This summer.
It's good money.
Ideal candidate is anyone with a butt, says the Tushy. Says the Tushy.
Anybody
CEO.
With a Tushy.
Anyone with a butt. Uh-huh. All right, boys, there you go. That is a hump day edition of an observation.
Talking about the start of baseball, should be about 1 month from today, July 23rd or 24th. So the countdown is on. We talked about the Mets over-under at 32, Rick. What do you think the Yankees over-under is for a 60-game season? Yankees
I'm gonna go
over-under.
Over-under, I'm going to say 38.
38. So you think the Yankees need to win 39 games? To win. Chris, what do you think Yankees over-under is?
I'm going to say 36.5, 37.
You guys are right there. 37.5 for the Yankees over-under.
Nice.
You're right there. Highest is with the Dodgers for the most in Major League Baseball.
Where are they at, Dave?
37.5 is the number.
37.5? Okay.
Yeah, that's the number. So Yankees odds to make the postseason. In the American League, Yankees are minus 240, which is the heavy favorite. Astros minus 180, Twins minus 160, Rays minus 150, Indians minus 115, and then you just go on the plus side. Orioles, just to make the postseason, plus 2,000.
I'll be interested to see what the Yankees do with, I mean, everyone getting healthy. We'll see what Judge looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, how they end up working their, I mean, because it's such a sprint, how do you, you're not worried about the 162 and trying to keep everyone healthy, but you,
no,
I mean,
no,
you
no.
have to worry,
I mean, you
about
gotta, you got to, I mean, 60 games, assuming, you know, you're in it the whole way, you got to play Judge.
You got to play to win.
58 games.
Yep.
Yeah, but what does that mean? You're playing, I mean, he's going to be in your lineup, but is he going to be, I mean, how much is he going to be as, used as the DH?
Well, whatever. You got to play him. He has to play. If he doesn't play, then something is clearly wrong with him.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, you'd imagine. You haven't heard anything otherwise that he's going to play. Do you want him diving around in right field?
I don't know. I wouldn't. I mean, you're going to want Sanchez to DH a little bit too, I would think.
At some point, yeah, you're right. Because I mean, but it is. I mean, it is the 60 games, so you're going to
have to push
guys.
It's going
to
be hard to handle them with kids' gloves, though, Rick. I mean, yeah. Because it is such a sprint. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get that, but you can, I mean, Stanton should be able to play the outfield.
Yes.
He can play the outfield.
Okay, so he can play right field. I'm less concerned about, you know, Stanton tweaking something as opposed to Aaron Judge diving around with a just recently healed cracked rib.
We'll find out. These are all the questions that we have starting in a month from right now, because we're a month away from the return of sports. Thank God.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.